Hello. Good morning. All right. Hey, so we're continuing a series today called Lights, and obviously by everything that you've heard and seen, the whole idea is simply, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, that you are the light of the world. And you've probably, if you grew up in church or even just growing up in East Texas, kind of the Bible Belt, right? You've probably heard that, and you probably heard the songs, you know, Let Your Little Light Shine, This Little Light of Mine, right? Shelly's been saved since she came out of the womb. Unlike the rest of us, we go through our periods, right? But Shelly sang at a talent contest in the second grade, This Little Light of Mine, but she did like this funky little retro version. And of course she won. It's ridiculous. It's not even fair. And so anyway, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, that you are the light of the world. And I think we hear that sometimes, but I don't know that we fully dive into exactly what it is that means and how it still applies to us today. Because I think that's really easy to do. Like, we know verses, we know scripture, we know things in the Bible, but there's kind of a disconnect between what we know and what we do, right? What we believe and how we behave, right? And so I think that's the heart behind this series, is just to make sure we understand what light means and how it affects us still today and what that looks like in the world that we live in. And so last week we looked at some ways to make sure that our light is burning as bright as it could be. We kind of used the analogy of, are you a 40-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb? And we talked about some ways that you can do that. If you missed it, it's on iTunes. Shameless plug. There's no shame in that. You know, this is really cool. This is a humble brag, right? You ever had one of those? As collectively as Motion Church, we've had, it's almost 13,000 people listen to our podcast on iTunes. That was cool. I don't know if, I said 13,000 people listen to. Hey. Now, what you don't know is that my mom listens over and over and over, but irrelevant. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to be light that shines in the darkness. We're called to be, you know, bright lights that shine in the world full of darkness. And what happens, I think, sometimes is as Christians, we kind of get frustrated with the darkness. We're like, oh man, the way the world is and things that happen in the world. And what we do is we have a tendency to curse the darkness. But dark is supposed to be dark, right? Darkness is not your enemy, it's your opportunity. You can tweet that later. It'll be all right. Right? It's not, that's the whole point. Like, if there weren't evil, there wouldn't be good. If there weren't, you know, if we didn't go through trials, we wouldn't appreciate when we get on the other side of it and we experience joy and happiness and contentment and those things. Like, you, there has to be a struggle. This is really funny. Tavian's my son, and he had a friend spend the night last night, and they went and watched a movie on Friday night called Miracles from Heaven. Is that correct? And so Tavian, you'd have to know my son to understand the kind of the fullness of this. So he calls me the next day and he was like, that movie was awful, awful. He's like, I hated it. And he started telling me all the things why. Well, his friend spent the night, they went together to watch the movie. And I was like, hey, Tavian told me that movie was really bad. He was like, I mean, it was good and bad. He was like, there were a lot of bad things that happened, but then there were a lot of good things that happened. 9 years old, a lot of good things that happened. But I don't think you would appreciate the good things if the bad things didn't happen. 9 years old. I'm like, bro, here, take the mic. Preach. And that's the same thing with darkness, like, and light. I don't think we would appreciate the light if there weren't darkness. I don't think the world would appreciate inspiration and hope if there wasn't despair and darkness, right? So it's not your enemy. It's your opportunity. Stop pointing out all the flaws in the world. We're not just called to point out problems. We're called to address problems. Church people are the worst. Not this church. Y'all know that, right? Like, other church people. Like, they just, this is the mentality of the modern day church person. The world is evil. The world is sick. And I'm going to sit my lazy butt on a pew and do nothing about it. Y'all got me started. Lord. So anyway, darkness isn't our enemy. It's our opportunity. And Christians, we're really bad about this. Like, we have to have an enemy. Like, we have to, and that's why we get in trouble, kind of in the, let's just be really careful here, and because you got to tread lightly, and I don't do that very well. But we make enemies of issues. Like, so now Christians are known for what they're against rather than what they're for. So like, oh, Christians are against this, and Christians are against this. And I think it's dangerous. It's not the place that we need to be, where you constantly pit yourself against people or a group of people or a certain thing. Like, it's not to be known for what you're against. It's to be known for what you're for. Anyway, so there was this really cool story we told last week. I think it's the first time we'd ever talked about the book of Leviticus. at Motion. If you've read Leviticus, you understand why. Like, man, it's just, it's one of those you read and you're like, what did I sign up for, right? And so, but there was a really neat, there were some, Moses was the leader of the people at the time. He gave some instruction to his brother, Aaron, and the rest of the priests who were responsible for taking care of the temple. And so they were talking about this particular lampstand in the temple, and the instruction was to keep the light burning at all times. And we talked last week about how it's our responsibility, our personal responsibility, to keep the light burning at all times. Just our personal, you are responsible for you. We live in a world where everybody else is supposed to be responsible for you. That's crap. That's not reality. That's not how it is. That's not how it works with God. It may work like that with the government, but it doesn't work like that with God. Okay? Dang! Numbers chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. That's how you do it. You transition when you rag on somebody or something, and you jump straight to the Bible. Makes everything good. Numbers chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. This is kind of another cool insight about this particular lampstand that we're going to look at. The Lord said to Moses, give Aaron the following instructions. Again, Aaron is Moses' brother. Moses is just bossing his brother around. What a guy. Give Aaron the following instructions. When you set up the seven lamps in the lampstand, place them so that their light shines forward in front of the lampstand. So Aaron did this. He set up the seven lamps so they reflected their light forward, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And I was just thinking, when you take those two verses, Matthew chapter 5 and Numbers chapter 8, and you kind of think about them, you know, as connected or correlated to each other, there's a lot to that. Like, our light is supposed to shine forward. A lot of times we like to shine down or back. We look at the wrong places. We put all of our effort and energy in the wrong things, but our light is supposed to shine forward. It says, let your light shine before men, forward, right? And I think it's really important, kind of, again, talking about the finish to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I think a lot of times we want to skip that part, and we want to go straight for the gusto. We'll talk about that more in a minute. So today, what we're going to do is dive in and look at how to do this, to be light that shines forward in the darkness. And the first point is this, the right light. I only picked that because it was poetic, right? The right light. I'm convinced that there's a proper way to use light. In fact, if you look at the little passage there from Jesus, he says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. He's kind of given instruction on how to use light. He's like, instead, you put it, you know, up high in the room so it gives light to everybody that's in the room. There's a way to use light. There's the right light. And I think kind of for our context, there are some things that we can do to make sure our light is most effective. And the first one is this, kind of the first thought on this, is I think your light can be too bright, which that may sound strange. It may sound weird. Like, oh, you can't shine too bright for Jesus. I don't know. Run around with the flashlight and shine it in everybody's eyeballs and see how that works. Right? I met a guy the other day, and it's funny because, like, you always, like, have hopes that you're going to meet, like, awesome people and, like, hear these great stories. And so I met a guy the other day, and I met him at a distance, and then I met him officially. And when I met him at a distance, I liked him a lot more than when I met him officially. Have you ever done that? And so I see the guy at a distance. I was like, he seems like a cool guy. I'm going to go talk to him. And so when it was all said and done, this dude's light was shining too bright. Like, too bright. It's, you can be a little, we call it oversaved. You can be a little abrasive with your Christianity. Like, what good would it do if I'm shining my flashlight in your eyeballs? Hi, my name's Chris. I love Jesus. If you don't repent of your sin, you're burning in a fiery hell. Like, your light just shined a little too bright. Too much too soon. Too much too soon, right? I think we can be too bright. I think there are tactics to this. There's kind of, you know, some ways to navigate through this. And I just don't know that there's a lot of value in that. And I'm not one to tell somebody what they can and can't do, but for us, this is what I think we should do, right? So it's light, but it may just be too much light at the wrong time. One of our laws of Motion, which are essentially or basically just the core values of Motion Church, is relational evangelism. And that's just a really fancy way of saying, like, we believe the most effective way to influence people is to be involved in their lives, invest in them, and then you invite them to church, which hopefully ultimately leads to a relationship with Jesus. So when you're, and I'm sure some of the people that do this have fantastic hearts, but I just don't know there's value in standing on a street corner and telling everybody they're going to hell. That's just my personal opinion. I feel like that light is shining real bright, but it's like a flashlight in the eyeballs, right? Because I know how I respond to that. And I'm like, I'm a pastor and I'm driving by and this homie's telling me I'm going to hell. I'm like, who are you? Right? And you know, you pull over the car and you're like, what? And I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Doesn't go down like that. I just think there's a lot more fruit. There's a lot more lasting value in investing in the lives of people. And then that happens. The light shines bright, but it's not too bright too soon. It shines bright at the right time. The other thought on this is that I think your light can be too dim sometimes. Sometimes we have a tendency, I don't know if it's a human thing, if it's an American thing, but we just like to fit in. We like to be cool. It goes all the way back to junior high or maybe before. I don't know. I just remember junior high. We were trying real hard. You were trying real hard. Have you seen pictures from junior high? Am I the only one? I'm like, man, listen, in eighth grade, we had a graduation. I wore a yellow tux to eighth grade graduation. That's a true story. I don't know why you're laughing. Because you know what? I could probably find some pictures of you. As a matter of fact, Daniel, we had eighth grade butt cuts. Do y'all remember the butt cut? But we were trying so hard to be cool, right? I think it's a tendency of people today is we try real hard to be cool. And cool is not exactly what people are looking for. They're looking for hope. They're not looking for cool. They're looking for inspiration. They're not looking for swag, right? They're looking for people that can help them in this journey of life. We've got enough cool. We need people who are there for us. We need people who want to make a difference in our lives. And so sometimes I think because we want to be cool, our light's a little too dim. I think the same thing can be said of kind of just the way that things are, man. I think a lot of times the light's just too dim. Have you ever been in a situation where you're looking for something and there's just not enough light to find what you're looking for? Right? Like maybe you drop something in your car at night and you're like, it's just not happening, right? You're looking and there's not adequate enough light to find what you're looking for. There's not adequate enough light to find what you're looking for. And I think that's kind of how it works in the world today. Like people are looking for something. Like there's an emptiness in people a lot of times and they fill it with so many other things and they're looking for something. They're searching. They want to know what it is that will fill this emptiness and this void inside of them. And they're looking. Like it's not like they're passive about it. They are actively searching for something. And the light sometimes doesn't shine bright enough to show them what they're looking for. That's good. You can amen. You can, you know, that's right, Pastor. Whatever you got to do, do it. It's kind of like, y'all remember Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears, right? You know, the first porridge was too hot and the second one was too cold, but the third one was just right. And I think light can kind of be like that. It's like, not too bright. Don't shine that stuff in my eyeballs, but not too dim. I still need to see what it is that I'm looking for, where I'm going. Just right. Just right. I had another thought on this one, and this one's more funny, but I think there's some relevance to it. You can shine a light in the wrong spot. Have you ever done that? So my son, I've mentioned him already, we call him Helpy Helperton at our house. Man, great heart, loves to help, gets in the way every time. And it's great because I feel like, you know, he's learning some stuff. I think he's learning some stuff. I don't know. So several times I'll be working on my truck or doing something underneath a vehicle, and I'll need somebody to hold a flashlight. So you bring in a 10-year-old with ADD to hold a flashlight. How's that going to work, right? And so we're under there, and it's like for about 10 seconds, man, he's holding the light right where I need the light. And then, you know, he's looking at grasshoppers and, what's that shiny thing, you know? He's shining the light in the wrong spot. And I think if you shine the light in the wrong spot, you're not doing very good. You're kind of missing the point. And I think as Christians, we have a track record for shining the light on the wrong spot, the wrong things. It's kind of like we alluded to earlier. It's like we like to point out flaws in people and flaws in society. We're shining light, and you may be telling the truth, but you're shining the light on the wrong thing. What if rather than pointing out all of the flaws that people have, you pointed to the potential that people had? Rather than pointing out to their past, why don't you point to their future? Why don't you shine your light on the right thing? Ooh, something, man, you guys, every time, y'all get me worked up. Something that's so powerful about this, that's so cool about this, is that God has a way in this, it's beyond our understanding, but God has a way of working in us as we're willing to kind of step out and share with other people, as we're willing to take the time to be light. God has this way of recharging us at the same time. So we've got a couple of guys from Laterna. Here they are. We've already told you about David. We're not sure if he's a man or an angel. I think he's a seraphim, like half man, half angel. So they're going to come up and share just a little bit. Last week was spring break for them at Laterno, and so they went to South Padre Island for a thing called Beach Reach. So who's coming first? Go, Amon. Yeah. We wanted to see your hops anyway. So anyway, this is Amon, and I just asked these guys. We had lunch with them all this week, and we asked them kind of to share some of the stuff that God had done in them as he was working through them, because I just think it's so relevant to where we're at and what we're trying to accomplish with the Light series.
Sweet. So I'm Amon. We went on Beach Reach, and practically what we do down there is we go down to South Padre during our spring break, and a group of us with other schools that also do Beach Reach, it's not just us, but we give out free van rides to spring breakers down there, so they get a free van ride, so they don't have to like drive drunk, which is super dangerous, and then we kind of just share what we're doing and what we're all about in the van rides, so it's pretty cool. And then we also give out free pancakes at midnight because drunk people like pancakes. So I went into this trip, it was my first year, and I was thinking like, wow, I can do so much for God during this spring break. And I was really thinking of all the people that I would touch, and you know, like God would just use me so much, and I was just ready to be, you know, used for the Lord. And we, on our way down, we stop in Houston for a night, and we're just having a group meeting and having some worship time. And God just like, man, I just like broke down, and I was crying, and I was like, man, I just need you, God. Like, I mess up so much, and like, I'm so broken. Like I'm trying to reach broken people. I'm broken. Like, I need you more than they need you. It's like, it was crazy. I was just like thinking to myself, like, man, I just need you so much. And like, I mess up so much, and I sin, and it's like stuff I know I'm not supposed to do, and I still do it. And I'm so broken. I just need you, God. Like, I need you to come, like, fill my life up. And God just, like, met me in my brokenness. And, like, what Chris was saying about darkness is not your enemy. Brokenness is not your enemy. It's just an opportunity for God to show his love to you. And it's like, man, I was so broken. Like, I was bawling my eyes out. Like, I was just crying so hard. And God just met me in that place. And, like, and I think because, like, I was willing to go and willing to spend my spring break not, you know, partying or doing whatever, sleeping all day, God just, like, honored that, and he met me in my brokenness, and he showed me his love that I'd never felt before. And like, man, it was life-changing. And then that, through that whole week, I was able to like just show people God's love just through like actions, not even having like super deep conversations, but like just actions that I do and just loving on people. And I actually had a couple of people text me after they like woke up sober, and they're just like, hey, what you did last night, like, we really appreciate that. And like, hey, we really like notice God's love. Like, I grew up Catholic, or I grew up Methodist, Baptist, whatever, but like, I really just felt God's love differently from you guys or from whatever you guys did. And so God was just like reminding me all week, like, him pouring his love into me was the only reason that I could pour pour love into people. And so, yeah, that's all.
Well, I'm David, and I'm human, no matter what Chris says. Just want to point that out really quick. yeah, just got to make sure I'm not under one of these light bulbs. There you go. So, yeah, like, come on with some saying. Beach Reach was, like, a really great opportunity to like, you know, take time out of like, your busy schedule and just sacrifice your time to reach out to these people, to be the light that God called us. But before all that, I was been really going through like a really tough time lately for the past, I think, like this year, a little bit of over last year, because I like distanced myself from God. Like, it would be normal for me to not pray or like not read the Bible in a day, and to me it would be okay. Like, I would just be get so used to it, and it was my fault for drifting away. And I just really wanted to go to Beach Reach because I know like a lot of awesome people were going, and like all my friends were talking about it. So I just decided to go, and near the end, like I still haven't paid for it and whatnot. So, and I was just really, really iffy about it, but decided to go anyways. And the thing, like before even going, Amon shared his testimony with me, and he spoke about Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, how God's taking her into the desert and speaking tenderly over her. And I just put myself in that situation. That really spoke to me because I felt like I was in that desert, you know, really dry, you know, I'm just looking for water, looking for just to survive. And like, I really knew that God was taking me there to like break me down and like to build me back up. So going into a spring break mission trip, I felt I didn't have anything else to give. But yeah, like, I think because of like how little I thought I was, God like used that to like for him to glorify himself, you know, through me. And it was just such an honor and such a privilege because I got to speak life into spring breakers, speak love into them most of all. And it was just so amazing and how just God worked within like our own group. And a lot of people were like recommitted to God and got baptized, and it was just so awesome just to like be like, wow, God, like I'm nothing, but yet like you still like delight yourself in like using me. And I just thought that was just really, really awesome. So yeah, and here's Chris.
I still think he's an angel. It's regardless. Hey, and Amon, your shoes got mad reviews from the back corner. Thought you should know that. Anyway, you know what I love about what these guys did on spring break? They went to Padre Island, which, you know, most people that go to Padre Island for spring break, you know why they're going to Padre Island for spring break. And as Christians, we could be like, oh, that's so ridiculous. It's so debaucherous. I can't believe the revelry. And, you know, it's the sinfulness. What are they doing? They could curse the darkness, or they could go try to be light that shines in the darkness. And so I think that's incredible with, you know, giving pancakes to drunk people. In Jesus' name, amen. The last point is this, and this is kind of interesting, and I think it'll all make sense. I think there is a right time for light. I think there's a right time for light to, even in our minds and our bodies, there is kind of a clock that ticks that's kind of anticipating light, and there's a time in our bodies where it's like, hey, I don't want light. I need, you know, sleep. I need to shut it off. And so I think that there's a right time for light. Even in the world that we live in, there's a right time. There's a time to shine a little brighter, and there's a time, you know, that people are less receptive. And, you know, just think about, I was thinking about 9/11. How many of you guys were alive for 9/11? I know we got a lot of young bucks, right? Surely everybody in here was alive. But at 9/11, if you weren't old enough to really kind of be aware of what was going on, it's like after 9/11, like the weeks and months leading, or, you know, after 9/11, it's everybody was at church. Everybody was, man, aware of God, and man, you know, I want to make sure that my life is, you know, where it needs to be and all of this stuff. And it was a time where light was shining really brightly because of the darkness, and people were open to the light. They were receptive to the light. For whatever reason, our human tendency is we don't look for the light until calamity happens, till disaster happens. Like when you know, bad things happen, we're like, oh, God, you know. And when things are good, you're like, God, who? Right? That's kind of how we work. But I think Easter is an opportunity. It's the right time for light. It's people are open to it. People are receptive to the idea. I mean, just statistically, people go to church on Easter. Like, it's just kind of the way it is. And so I think this is a right time for us to shine our light. It's a right time for us to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to be light that shines in the darkness, to invite after we invest, right? I think that's huge. And so I was thinking about this, the whole bright lights when they're shining too bright at the wrong time. Shelly is hilarious in the mornings. So we're a little bit different. I'm a morning person more than she is. So when she comes into the bathroom in the morning to start getting ready, like, it's pitch black. I'm like, how do you get ready when it's dark? And so I'll come in, she'll be brushing her teeth, and I'll flip all the lights on, and she's like, like what? Who are you and what are you, right? She hates the bright lights in the morning. In her mind, it's the wrong time for bright lights. And I think when you're coming out of darkness, like, you've done this when you've been in a movie theater and you come out at daylight, you're like, ah, right? It's kind of the wrong time for bright light, but there's a right time for bright light. And I think this is the right time for Bright Light. It's the time of the year when people are open to it and receptive to it. So we need to kind of capitalize on that and invite people to be a part of something. And what we always say about church is, man, we don't make people fall in love with Jesus. Like, we're not that good. We have no control over the choices that people make, but we can set up some dates. Shelly loves to match make. Like, she's moderately successful. Maybe not, right? And I think, man, that's all we're doing. We're like, hey, you know what? You know, you're a single bachelor over here, and there's this, you know, Jesus who loves you, right? And so all we can do is set up dates, and I think that's what the church is. That's how we operate. Man, we give people opportunities to experience. It says in Psalms to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that's kind of what we want to do. We want to give people an opportunity to do that, and that's what Easter is about. I got a text the other day when we were doing this series, and this is the title. I haven't exposed the title yet, but the title of the message is Motion Activated Lights. You ever seen those? Of course, you've seen these, like, security lights when you walk up and they detect motion and then the lights come on. Do you see what's going on here, right? I got pretty excited about this one. And so I think we can see this scenario play out in the world that we live in. Like, man, when you're doing your thing and you're living your life and you're interacting with the people that God has placed around you, motion can activate some lights in other people, right? Like, by walking by them and being involved in their lives and investing in them, you can activate the light that's in them. That's what we're called to do. Like, we're called to be hope. We're called to be light that shines in the darkness. We're called to be people who are willing to get dirty and messy and be invested in the lives of people. Because you know what sucks? When you invest yourself in the life of people and it doesn't work out. Because sometimes that happens. But you know what? That shouldn't shy us away from doing it. We should continue to invest in the lives of people. And even when people fail you, because they will, and they do, they're human. Just like you fail them, they'll fail you. And so what we've got to do is we've got to look past that, and we've got to press on, and we've got to keep investing in the lives of people. Motion activated lights. And that's what Easter, I think, is all about. So what we've got, just kind of as a shameless, I've got a lot of shameless plugs this morning. We've got these really clever, cool invite cards that just have a little bit of information. I think we should just egg the city with these things. Right? With these. I'm not trying to get anybody thrown in jail, right? Egg the city, man. Let's pass these things out all over the place. Pass them out to people you know, people you don't know. I think there are sometimes, this is not to be counterproductive or counter, you know, to what I just said, but I think this is a great time. Even if you don't know, people are looking, and so you can use things like this as kind of clues to the light. So make sure you get some of those on your way out. We've got some incredible opportunities. Next week is going to be fan-stinking-tastic. The production team has worked really, really hard to prepare some stuff, and I think the message is going to be pretty good, in my opinion. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jet out of here. Father, we love you so much, and we are so thankful for all that you do for us. God, that you would use us in spite of us so many times. God, in the areas of our life where we fail you or where we come up short, you still love us and you still want to use us and you still trust us as part of your plan for humanity, for the church, for your kingdom. And for that, God, we're thankful. God, for the idea that we could be the light of the world, not based on our effort or merit, based on what you're doing in us. God, it's mind-blowing, but we embrace it this morning. God, we believe that you can use us to do incredible things. We believe that you can use this church to activate light in this community. God, that you can use the members, the pieces, the parts of this church to activate lights in their little world, God, their spheres of influence. God, that you would embolden us and fill us with grace to enable us to do that, to be light that shines in the darkness. We wouldn't curse the darkness. That we would embrace the darkness. The darkness is not our enemy. It's our opportunity. We love you, and it's in Jesus' awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen.